up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
National championship game last night won by Clemson. Dabo Swinney, a two-time national championship coach. And you know what? I like Dabo a lot. I had a chance to meet him years ago, and I liked him the day I met him. And yes, he's coaching against the team that is my school's rival, but he's a very, very likable person. One of the things that I think there is a method to his madness, but one thing that I'd like to find out the method for the madness is why he does that whole thing with Clemson that we're little old Clemson, right? Nobody believes in us card. And that is completely and utterly not true. And I don't know where and how he comes up with that. Clemson has been a favorite team going into this season and throughout the season. Nobody thought Clemson was little old Clemson, we don't belong here kind of aspect to it. That aw shucks, good old boy, we're just here for a good time kind of coach is very appealing. But at the same time, he's now got a program that is on top of the college football world for the second time in 2 years, 2017 and 2019. He is the champion of college football. That is not little old Clemson. That is big time Clemson. And when he says that there's a lot of talk about who's the best all season long and we were never in that conversation, that isn't really true. And you know what? Remember this. Clemson coming into this game were underdogs, but I compared it to the first year that the Patriots went to the Super Bowl. They played the Rams, and I remember because they had beaten the Steelers, and Brady was still, kind of an unknown entity yet. Like, when are the wheels going to fall off of this kid? And Drew Bledsoe had to come off the bench to beat the Steelers in the AFC title game. But for most people that knew the NFL, for most people that knew the league, there was a 14-point favorite for the Rams going into that Super Bowl, and everybody said, take the Patriots. There was something that they were defensively good. Brady looked like he, had all the parts. That's what I felt about Clemson. Alabama may have been favored in the game last night, but a lot of people gave Clemson a really good chance of winning that game. That's not little old Clemson climbing a big mountain. That's big old Clemson on top of the mountain, ready to inflict some damage, which they did last night. And Dabo better embrace that because he's earned it and should be able to embrace it.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, welterweight superstars return to the ring. Legendary 8-time champion Manny Pacquiao meets 4-time champion Adrian the Problem Broner. Two of the biggest stars in boxing. One explosive fight, Pacquiao versus Broner. Saturday, July 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, live on pay-per-view. All right, talking about the national championship game last night and Alabama. Well, I think Nick Saban, and, I've been saying this all morning. I think Nick Saban, was outcoached in this game. And I think this was a problem for Alabama is they simply were not ready for this Clemson team. And that's really surprising because Nick Saban is a guy that he does that whole act where, every game is the game that's on. There's no overlooking an opponent, right? I mean, if you're playing lowly Vanderbilt, right, you're not overlooking them for LSU. He's got his teams always focused on the task at hand. And it's knowing that this is the fourth time that you're playing a Clemson team, that you would think the best of your program would come out, right? Of the analysis. Here are the guys that have played in the previous games. We know what they can do. We know what this kid Trevor Lawrence can do. We know he can go vertical. So we've got to. There was nothing that Alabama did last night. Nothing that showed that they were capable of containing Clemson's offense, right? And then defensively, without Dexter Lawrence, it didn't matter. The Clemson defensive front was really good. Now it's not dominant, right? I don't want to get carried away. Clemson's defensive unit is you're not going to dominate Alabama. Alabama's offensive line is great, and they run the ball well. But it certainly slowed Alabama down. I mean, they didn't break off huge runs. Tua was pressured throughout the night, threw his game off a bit. And this thing was wrapped up in the second half. And Trevor Lawrence is now emerging as a national power, as a national force. His presence in that game, what he did in that game, is going to have everybody in the country now focusing on, okay, look at Clemson now. You may not have been into Clemson, may not have ignored Clemson. Maybe ACC football is not your thing. And now Trevor Lawrence comes in the forefront, and you know in a couple of years he's going to be the top pick in the draft, barring injury or barring any other setback to his college football career. And that, to me, was the takeaway last night of how good this kid was on the biggest stage. It is one thing when you're lighting up teams in the ACC that are a lot weaker than Clemson is, but it is another thing, the way he beat Notre Dame and the way he beat Alabama, these were two gigantic games for a true freshman, and he did not look like he was fazed at all by the stage. And that's amazing. And it really is amazing. But going back to what this game means, what does it mean? It means Clemson is the national champion. I don't want to dig deep into deep meanings here. Clemson was a good team all season long. All season long. This wasn't an emergence of a program that surprised us all. This wasn't a conference that finally kicked it into gear. Clemson had already won a national championship back in 2016/17. This was just Clemson winning a game of two titanic teams, two big time programs. And as I said at the top of the hour, Dabo should embrace the fact that Clemson is now a national power and has been. The little old Clemson line is going to get old. Don't go down that road. Don't go down that card. Don't apologize for who you've become. Right? There was a time where Clemson got waxed by West Virginia in the Orange Bowl, 70-something. And those days are done for right now. Now, it can disappear. We saw it with Miami. We've seen it with Nebraska. We've seen teams have this huge, huge, it looks like it's never going to end. The recruits will just keep pouring into the program, and then it does end, right? Texas was never the same after they lost the national championship to Alabama 10 years ago. And it's the same is true with a lot of programs. Florida was never quite the same after Urban Meyer left, right? It can disappear. But for right now, Clemson is the talk of the college football world. This coach is likable. This coach is bringing in top talent. You know, when you go to Clemson in the next 2 to 3 years, whatever position you are in, you are going to be playing alongside one of the top quarterbacks in the country that's going to give you a chance to win a national championship. And that is a big, big deal when it comes to recruiting. Guys want to play on this stage, right? They want to have these kind of moments. And if you go to Clemson now, you're going to get these kind of moments. So if I'm Dabo, I don't do the woe is us, nobody believed in us card. That is so, it pains me because I don't know what the end game is to that strategy, right? I always think when coaches use those kind of cliches, there's an end game to it. What am I trying to say? What am I trying to prove? What am I trying to do? Right? Maybe it's motivation before the game. You want to do that. That's fine. You want to tell the kids nobody believes in them and it's up to them. Great. Fine. But when you do win the game, don't look at the same media that has been ranking you number two in the nation with the help of the committee all season long and say, nobody believed in us. Everybody believed in you. Are you kidding me? Everybody believed in you. You were the number two team in the country, and you were number two in the country for a long period of time. Right? Your quarterback was not a sneak upon us kid. Those who knew said he was one of the greats. Those who follow this closely said he was one of the best recruiting prospects they had ever seen. Not this year, not in the last couple of years. Some of these high school scouts said he was the best they had ever seen. So you don't have a program that's, you know, like Little Sisters of the Poor here. You're Clemson and you're a national power, and embrace that, because now you've got to walk the walk Alabama has to do, right? Alabama fans leaving the game last night are never going to appreciate what this team did this year, right? This season has now become a failure because they didn't win a national championship. And that's fine, because when you reach that level, that means you've made it. If you're happy with a 6-6 season and thank God we made a bowl game and yeah, it was in Idaho in early December, middle of December, but my God, I'm so happy. That's one level. Another level is we may not have won the conference, but man, we came close to winning our division, got a nice little bowl game out of it, a trip to a warm weather climate. Thank you. Great. That's on another level. Alabama is at a level where a loss like this stings and stings for a long time, up until spring ball, fall ball. This stings. And even after that, it stings. Because when you look back at the history of Nick Saban, there's not a lot of losses on his that are as bad as this one. And I would venture to find one that is as bad as this one. Alabama's had losses during the regular season they've been able to recover from. They've had losses in the playoff that they've been able to recover from with national championships, even though the games were tight and close. Clemson beat them with a kind of a last second touchdown to Hunter Renfro. But this is the kind of game where you get beat down. You are embarrassed. It looks like the other team is 1,000 times better at every level than you are. And that's not the case. That's not true, but it feels that way. And this is the kind of game that stings. That's where Clemson is at right now. If Clemson doesn't make the playoff next year because something happens to Trevor Lawrence, they get hurt or whatever circumstances befuddle them, this is a program that should say, nope, not acceptable, not acceptable. But if you're Little Sisters of the Poor and that's what you're kind of promoting, little old Clemson, then it is acceptable. Right? Because everything is a bonus when you succeed. Everything is, you're on top of the world, and you know what? You don't even know how you got here. But we know how you got here. Because you recruit like hell. I mean, you go out and get some of the best talent out there and you make that talent work for you. Dexter Lawrence, his absence in this game should have been exploited by Alabama. You know why it wasn't? Because they are deep on the defensive line. Alabama should have been able to take one of the star players that is out of the Clemson lineup and use that to their advantage, and they couldn't. They couldn't. And this kid, Trevor Lawrence, and I'm going to be saying it all morning because he was that impressive to me. When you have this kind of NFL type of quarterback, big, tall, pocket passer that can go downfield, puts great touch on the football, right? The comparisons to Peyton Manning may be a little overblown right now, but that's what people are saying already. Then you have put yourself on top of the mountain to stay for a while. And little old nobody believed in us. What nonsense. I talked to about 7, 8, 9, 10 people leading up to this game around Tennessee where I live. Everybody I talked to thought Clemson was going to win this game, or at least could win the game. There was no, Tide are just going to roll to another championship. Oh, well. Everybody thought, no, this Clemson team's really good. This Clemson team's really good. They'll put up a fight. They may not win the game, but man, it's going to be good. There was no, oh my God, I don't even know how Clemson got here. Oh my God, what are they doing? This is fool's gold. If anything, Alabama, out of their game plan, looked more out of their realm than Clemson did. And we know that Alabama wasn't out of their realm because they've been on the stage a million times. Bad game for Alabama, humiliating loss for Nick Saban. He wasn't ready. He even admitted, maybe I wasn't as prepared as I thought. All of the, explanations for this loss, but all the credit in the world to Dabo. Because Dabo took that job and ran with it. And people did not like it when he got that job. When the interim tag was taken off, they did not like that guy. Clemson thought they could get anybody in the world that they wanted, and they ended up with Dabo Swinney. Oh, my God. And what has he done? 2 national titles, and now they're on top of the mountain. 800-777-2907. Hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, as SB Nation AM rolls along. Now we'll get into the NFL. Some news and notes around the league coming up next on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
800-777-2907, the telephone number, your thoughts on the national championship. Happy Alabama lost? All you haters out there hate the SEC. God, I hate conference loyalty. Don't you think people in Alabama should be half like the Auburn fans should be thrilled that Alabama lost?
Of course.
If I hear one Auburn fan go, well, I don't root for Alabama, but I was rooting for the conference. No, never root for your rival. Ever, 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 ever.
I think Auburn is fine, but I think it's the other schools. They'd be like, oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah. You know, like you get anything. Like the school gets like some money, I guess. You know, they get a share of the, but you don't get anything as a fan. You know, what are you going to wear?
Do schools
SEC?
Get a share of?
I don't know. Do they? They used to. I think in basketball they do. So I may be talking out of my
if the conference wins?
Out of my knowledge. I think the basketball, I think in basketball you get a share of the TV pie and then you get some conference money. So you get a little.
Well, then so athletic
piece
directors
of the
want, or should, I guess. It's okay for them to be homers.
Yeah, maybe.
Conference homers.
But why do fans have to, what do you get out of it if the SEC wins? Like when they put out those ads, the SEC, it just means more. Well, yeah, I guess. I mean, but not really.
No,
really,
but,
means
I mean,
more?
Same,
what are you talking about?
Yeah, by that same token, you would go off and say, you know what, I'm so happy that the Ravens won.
Right. Right.
Or, you know, like the Chargers and the Chiefs are both in the playoffs right now. It'd be like me saying, go Chiefs because we're in the same division.
No, it doesn't work. I used to have an argument with a buddy of mine back in the old days of baseball when it was real National American League. You know, they didn't play each other and, you know, DH, non-DH. Well, they still have that, but. And he used to be like, well, I'm a National League guy. I'm like, what does that mean? Like, what do you mean you're a National League guy? Well, I'm a Pirates fan. I'm a National League guy. Like, what? Oh, okay. So what do you do with that when the Pirates are not in the postseason, which they weren't at the time? I'm like, what do you do? What kind of currency does that give you? Like, what does that mean? So you're rooting for the Braves? What? Why? Because? I mean, does it make you feel? I mean, I guess if you want a rooting interest. I mean, so, you know, last night, I mean, I'm not rooting for Clemson last night. I mean, I respect Clemson. Don't get me wrong. If you're a Clemson fan, God bless you. But, you know, if you knew that I went to South Carolina, you know why I don't root for Clemson. Yuck. I didn't root for them last night. But I'm not a fan of Alabama's either. But last night I was just watching, a football game and processing what it all means. But don't look at the SEC and go, my God. Like you go to the ACC basketball tournament, right? I mean, that's a great basketball tournament. Right? I mean, they got great fans. You go to an SEC tournament, you know what you get? Kentucky. That's it. I'm sorry. Right? So don't tell me it means more. It might mean more in football. Maybe mean more in baseball, but don't tell me it means more. Just your conference sports. I can go to ACC basketball. They've sold out, but I go to the SEC. All it is Kentucky. Kentucky fans. I have been to Bridgestone Arena in Nashville and watched an empty arena fill up with Kentucky fans and then empty right back out again. All right. I mean, don't tell me that, you know, people love the conference. They love their school in the conference and everybody loves their school. Are you kidding?
This is surprising to me that, like, for the SEC, I mean, yes, they're dominant in football, but if you were a basketball player, wouldn't you want to go to, say, Alabama? I know Alabama, like, they're almost like teetering on being a main power in college basketball, but they have a good team and then they fall off the face of the planet. And I've always thought that, you know, if I was a basketball player, I'd want to go to a big time school that you go football. Then I will always, you know, it just boggles my mind, like, why Alabama can't tap into, like, why Alabama basketball can't tap into that recruiting.
Yeah. Well, isn't that weird? Like,
that's a party every Saturday during the fall.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, I agree to that. Like, it's hard for schools to be really good at both.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Michigan pulls it off every now and then. Florida, there are some schools. Florida's done it before. So there are examples, but it's not the norm, right? I mean, like, you know, Clemson basketball is all right, you know, but, and Alabama basketball is all right, you know, but a lot of times these schools can't get both on the same page of excellence. Like, both, you know, very rarely does it, you know, it happens occasionally, but it doesn't. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, once you think, like, you know, basketball, I don't even know who the head coach of basketball is at Alabama, but once you think, like, you know, Saban, you go to Nick Saban's office, like, I'm really trying to get this guy. You know, can you help me out? Can you help sell me? I mean, it just benefits the school, benefits us.
Yeah, no kidding. Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Why Saban? I mean, Saban obviously is a master recruiter, or, you know, Dabo Sweeney's got to be a master recruiter to pull off what, you know, the players he's getting in. Why doesn't he just walk over across the, I mean, I'm sure they're right down the hall from each other as well. Just pop his head in there and go, hey, man, you want me to help you out on that recruiting trip?
Yeah, I'm trying to get Mr. Basketball to come here. And why don't you show up? And because you know what? The facilities at the athletic facilities at Alabama are so fantastic.
Yeah.
And it helps all the programs. It helps all the athletes. Like, you know, if you, the weight room isn't just for the football team. Everybody gets to use all that good fancy stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, there, there's some football only stuff.
Football
but
team,
yeah, right. But you know, if you go to Alabama, it's like if it is a basketball player, it's like, yeah, well, here, look at what the football team gives us. A waterfall. You're in the middle of the lobby. You know, fantastic.
Have ever you wanted five different temperatures of saunas? Well, we have them.
Exactly. I remember at Duke, I read a story about Duke, how Mike Krzyzewski has a private elevator that goes to his office that, like, it requires his handprint. And I kept thinking to myself, does David Cutcliffe, the football coach, get that too? Probably not.
Probably not.
Probably not. He probably doesn't have a personal elevator slash handprint scanner.
And see, and that's another one, the other way around, where Duke football, every once in a while, he's like, okay, they got a good team.
Yeah, every now and then Duke's football is pretty good.
But for the most part, no, they're terrible.
Yeah, but they're not like, you know, they're not an ACC power.
Yeah.
They have you know, they've been a good ACC foe. I mean, they've been a good team. It was one year they went, they went to the Peach Bowl, played pretty well, played against Texas A&M.
But why can't Mike Krzyzewski walk down the hall and go, hey, you know what? This I know you had your eye on this guy. Let me come with you.
Maybe make a phone call or two.
Because it just benefits everyone, I would think.
Yeah, I would think so too. So yeah. So again, I don't get conference loyalty. I really don't. I don't know if you're a Florida State fan, were you rooting for Clemson because somehow it benefits the ACC? I don't get it. I can't.
It's not in your DNA.
Just sit and watch the game and enjoy it. Like I had a friend of mine last night. He was a fellow Gamecock, and he was putting out all sorts of anti-Clemson stuff. And I almost wrote back and go, you know what, dude, save it. Just call it a night. This is not working.
I think the only
this
way
team
you
is fantastic.
Do,
like, just stop.
The only way you can fall into conference loyalty is if you're from a small, if it was like UCF. If UCF somehow found their way to the national championship, then there's conference loyalty because you have to.
Yeah, exactly. No,
you
I agree
want
with
them
that.
To put your conference on the map to say, hey, we're much better than we are.
Oh, my God. Last night, Nick Saban. There were so many screenshots of Nick Saban. I thought he was going to blow a gasket.
I swear to you, it's Black Tuesday in Tuscaloosa.
Oh, my God.
Some,
Mike Locksley is the offensive coordinator. I mean, what a bunch of crazy plays he called last night.
There are some coaches who didn't make the flight.
I liked at the end of the game last night, Dabo said, he goes, you know, we'll have a team meeting on Friday to get ready for next season. Why don't you just take 2 weeks off and chill? Yeah, I know recruiting's coming, but just take a vacation.
Meeting.
Take a vacation, man. Like you just won the national title. If you win a national title and you're looking at your calendar and it's like win the national title, fly back home, parade, back to work for 2019.
Exactly. No,
that stinks. Are you kidding me?
That team meeting's at a Buffalo Wild Wings.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Get on a boat somewhere and go relax. That's hard to do. I know recruiting's coming and signing day and all that stuff, but find some time to get away from this.
That I swear to you, that team meeting is them sitting around someplace. It could be at somebody's house, and they're going to say it's a team meeting as a write-off.
Oh, God, yeah. are you kidding?
You know, they got to find
these
some
guys
way
love,
to, you know, afford the high-end champagne or whatever they're going to be drinking.
These guys love to work, and they love to tell you how much they're working, right? I mean, we hear this all the time with coaches. Man, they're in the office at 4:30 in the morning. Okay, whatever. Okay, good for you. Okay. Good for you. You're there at 4:30. Stay asleep in his office. Well, all right. Well, I guess that's – I mean, what do you want me to do? Tell you how awesome you are? Because you're spending 20 hours on the job breaking down film? Good luck.
Coaches are worse than CrossFit guy.
I know. It's all they talk about, right? Worse than CrossFit guy. Did I tell you about CrossFit? I tell you how hard I work coaching football? Oh, my. That's why Steve Spurrier didn't want to work in the NFL anymore, right? Because Spurrier wasn't that guy. Spurrier was like, I'm going golfing. And he got to the NFL, and he thought there would be more golf. And he's like, oh, shoot. Oh, no. I got to be here early. And, oh, goodness.
Well, I figured you didn't have to recruit in the NFL. You don't recruit in the NFL.
No.
You got a whole team of guys that just go out and buy you players. You say,
yeah, that's what he thought, man. He thought he didn't have to do anything.
A, B, and C, yep.
And he ended up working harder than he did in college. And he was like, I can't do this anymore. I'm not doing this. It's not working.
Dabo get back to work for 2019. Like, you know what? I don't think any Clemson fans begrudge you a nice vacation. Go take it out. Go take your vacation. Your kids did all the recruiting for you by screaming into the microphone how awesome your program is. Great last night. Poor Reese Davis was trying to hold on to that microphone. Those kids wanted that microphone so bad. They wanted to rip it away and be like, oh, we're going to party now. We got the microphone. Come to Clemson. This is the best. Got a good quarterback, a great coach. You don't have to worry about him leaving. Ah, it's best. Reese Davis was holding on for dear life. SB Nation AM rolling along. Tony D, Ron Culver. Again, hit us up on Twitter at Tony D and at Ron Culver.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. SB Nation AM rolling along this morning. NFL's playoffs continuing this weekend. Chargers and the New England Patriots. What is the Charger temperature today, Ron Culver?
I'm still lukewarm.
Lukewarm.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait till it starts bubbling up.
I don't want to say it out loud. I'm going to say it out loud, and it's probably the biggest jinx of all, but I feel better about playing against the Patriots than I did against the Ravens.
Oh, I do too.
I don't, and I shouldn't.
Yeah, I almost posted yesterday that I rarely do the Patriots host a playoff game where the other team is better than them, and I think this is the year. I think the Chargers are better than they are.
Yeah, I mean, the Patriots can throw out all the stats that they're, you know, undefeated at home. That,
oh, yeah.
You know what? I think they're like 4-point favorites right now or something like that. But you know what? I mean, the Chargers are 13-4 on the road this year.
Very good team. Very good team.
And the 13-4 on the road.
I'm telling you right now, the Eagles have no chance against the Saints. Okay, none. Stop with this Nick Foles magic. It ends on Sunday. It's going to come to a crashing halt.
But if he does,
pencil him into the Super Bowl.
He legally needs to change his name to include that word.
Yep. He does.
Big D Nick.
Yep, I agree. He does.
He needs to legally change his name to that.
He does, because if he does beat the Saints in the Superdome, then this team's going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They're going to win the Super Bowl.
At this point, you know, it's like Rams, Cowboys just play to a tie and then just say that's our season.
The NFL has officially ruled that Cody Parkey's kick was a block. I don't think it helps him at all in the public perception. That poor kid. You miss a field goal in a playoff game. Here come the memes. Here comes the everything, right? You got to swim through that pile of garbage to get clean on the other side like Andy Dufresne. He has been just inundated with all sorts of Parkey missed this. Here's Parkey parking a car. Here's Parkey doing it. Poor kid. But they changed it to a block. It won't help him, but at least they changed it to a block.
Do you think
so? Some of the blame is off his shoulders.
I mean, do you think Chicago's calmed down?
Probably not. People love to hang on to that kind of stuff.
Here we go. If this happened in any other team, say this happened with the Vikings, would they have been as vicious?
Because
I have to think that a lot of it is because of Chicago.
Yeah. And I think it's because, again, I think the finality of it, the finality of the season gets you in a, it's just a weird place. It's a weird, you can't describe it. When you feel things are going to go your way and you feel like you got a good team and you feel like you're all excited for the postseason and it ends even before it begins and you miss it on a field goal. It's, oh my God, it's, you, I don't, I understand they booed him. I wish they didn't. I thought it was very classless, but I understand the emotion. It's like I've taken walks outside. I've gone, I can't believe this occurred. I mean, there are times where I've dreamt like a different outcome. I mean, it's a weird, like being a fan is a strange phenomenon and you end up doing crazy things. You know, like we talked about this before, that Tebow touchdown against the Steelers a few years back, it was a whole week of watching that over and over and over and over again. Like I would walk into a store and the TVs would just be playing that. And I just couldn't get away from it. And I just hated it because it was such a dumb play. But you know, if your kicker misses a field goal after he nails one and then he misses it and you don't quite understand why, like maybe today you're like, all right, it was partially blocked. That caused the trajectory of the ball to be, you know, affected. Okay. I feel, but not at the moment. Nobody could tell it was blocked. They had to review it. So, too bad. I feel bad for the kid, but yeah, the finality of it, you know,
Bears went, what, 10-6?
Yeah.
Yeah, won the division, looking have a home game.
But he comes back from this, right?
Oh, I think he does.
I don't think he's young enough.
It's hard to be a kicker. I think it would be hard if you were to be a kicker at that level and not have a contingency plan for things like this, right?
I mean, but it's not like a Scott Norwood situation where Norwood, when he missed that field goal, I mean, I know he played a few more seasons after that, but he really just fell off the face of the planet.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, it was same thing. I don't think this. Yeah, I think you know as a kicker, this is the territory. I better learn how to deal with this. And if I don't, I better find people in my inner circle that know how to deal with this. So I'm sure, you know, Blair Walsh has come to his, a bunch of kickers have come to talk to him or reached out for support because they're all in the same fraternity. They all, have gone through this before. And it's, if you're, you better have a plan because you could go mad. I'll give you an example. I played in this charity golf tournament once. It was all for fun, all for charity. We all played, and it was a round robin tournament. It's called Media Madness. It was in Colorado, and it was like TV people, radio people, print, all sorts of media people. And the magazine that was covering it, it was kind of cute. We all got to be in the magazine, and they would write about us and whatnot. And I was playing in the semifinal match, and I was down a few holes, and I was coming back, and I was on the 18th, and I had the match square. And I had a putt. I had a very short putt to go into overtime, to go into extra holes. And the next hole was a hole that I felt like I could win because it was the first hole, and I played that hole really, really well. And I knew my opponent hadn't played that the last time, hitting the water, and I couldn't wait to get to that last hole. And I missed the short putt, really short putt, like Scott Hoke missed it. I mean, it was like maybe a 2-footer, and it lipped the cup. And so this is all for charity and this is all for fun. And I laughed at it. The opponent was a friend of mine and we laughed about it. And oh my God, I can't believe it. He won and he went on to the finals. Dude, I didn't get over that for like 2 weeks. Like it took me a long time. Like I kept thinking about that putt. I kept going over in my mind about the putt. Now this is just for fun. This had nothing attached to it whatsoever. Nothing at all. And I couldn't get over that thing. I remember my friends were like, stop talking about that putt. I was so bummed about it. I can't imagine, like, take that and multiply it by a million if you're an NFL kicker. Like, you just cost your team a playoff game by missing a field, whether it was blocked or not. You probably know that in order to handle that, in order to collect checks as a kicker in the NFL, I have a way of mentally being able to handle that. But again, how many playoff kicks has he ever missed in his life, right? I mean, so we don't know what he's going through. I mean, kicker, it's a lonely position. Because when you play other positions, right, you can point to everything is a chess match, right? If you're a wide receiver, the coverage may have been too tight, which is why you dropped the ball. Maybe somebody got a hand on it. But if you straight up miss a kick, and again, I know this, they change it to a block, but when you straight up miss a kick, that's it. You're on an island by yourself. There's no excuse. You can blame the holder, but that sounds childish. You can blame the snap, but that sounds childish. If you got a kick away, that better be good. It better be good. And it wasn't. And again, they got a hand on it, but that's a lonely place to be. Man, you get all the glory and all the blame. I love the shots of the kickers, like when the team is driving down the field and no one is around him. He's just kicking into a net. He's just thinking like, all I got to do is get a leg on this, man. Just get a leg on this.
That's what, I mean, it's the loneliest position.
Oh, gotta be.
Even punters are, unless you do that onside kick that one punter did. But
right, I know.
And why doesn't he get scrutinized a little bit more? Right,
right. He should have been. Yeah,
that
exactly.
Was the worst kick of the weekend.
Yeah. So, I think the kicking in the NFL, like if you can do it well. You can do it for 20 years. I mean, if you can do it well, you can do it for, like, Adam Vinatieri is still kicking in the NFL. Yeah.
What, Morton Anderson?
Morton Anderson forever kicked in the NFL, right? I mean, there's guys who, if you can do it well, remember Sean Lindell was a punter for like 20 plus years in the league forever. It's a job where it is so, what have you done for me lately? Like, Mason Crosby he was a Pro Bowl kicker for a year, and then all of a sudden he couldn't kick. And remember they were talking about cutting him. It's a whole, that whole idea. There's so many guys go just, all you gotta do is open competition and there's guys walking in and will kick for you. So you get, they're so expendable. You just get rid of a guy's not kicking well, bye, done. He'll have to go find another job with another team somewhere else. But he's not kicking here anymore. Man. And if you're the Bears and this kid, like, how do you, the whole city was, there was a period of time, I mean, it probably still is, where he was the butt of jokes, and the Bears, you know, have to put up with that. Poor kid. Yeah. What are you going to do? That's what the kicking life is all about. Yeah.
I'm going to let you name the three, or what position did the three oldest players in the NFL, what positions did they play?
I'm going to say place kicker.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say quarterback, because I think George Blanda was in his mid-40s.
Yep.
And then I'm going to say punter.
You were close. George Blanda is the oldest. He retired at the age of 48.
Yep.
Just short of his 49th birthday. He was a quarterback, but he was also the kicker.
He was also the kicker. Wow.
Then next follows Morton Anderson. He was 47. John Carney, who has not yet retired.
Oh, yeah. Okay, John Carney.
He's technically a free agent, but he hasn't played in a while.
Wow, no kidding.
And he's 46, so there you have it.
Yeah.
There's longevity in that
longevity, sport. Man. You just got to keep yourself limber, right? You got to stretch, be able to.
And you don't make tackles.
Don't make tackles. Like, remember when they gave Sebastian Janikowski a bunch of crap because he didn't want to tackle that? Of course not.
No.
Why would you? No. It's not your job. Runs for a touchdown. What are you going to do?
I mean, you know, I was a kicker in high school.
Were you?
Yes.
Were you good?
I think I was. I think
I Wait a minute. I just gave a whole speech about being on an island, and you know what it's like to be on an island.
I do know what it's like to be. I was the only one with the clean uniform at the end of the game.
Oh, yeah. You ain't
there was one game. It was extremely, extremely muddy, and I could have worn my uniform the next day.
Ah, that's great.
Because I went out there for a few kicks. I mean, it was a muddy game. It was one of those. And our school didn't really believe in going for field goals, so that kind of stunk. So I was really... And that game, I think I had one play, and that was the opening kickoff. And then the rest of the time, I sat on the sideline. That was terrible.
And it was two-point conversion time every time they scored?
Yeah, yeah. They just,
because it was muddy?
It was really muddy. It was just the conditions were not favorable.
Yeah.
But we also were a terrible team. We had trouble scoring, so that also...
So as a kicker, when it's really muddy, like do you add? I mean, it was high school.
No,
do you add cleats to it, or do you get
obviously you wear cleats, but
no, I know you wear cleats, but do you add extra cleat to it? I mean,
no,
you have to wear a special cleat.
I literally would move. You know, usually you want to try to set up in the middle of the field, but I knew my leg was powerful and strong enough that I was like, you know what, I'm going to find like the patch of grass. Because I do not want to fall on my ass.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
I don't want to be that guy who has a completely white uniform on, except for the his derriere is covered in mud. I was like, I don't want to be that guy.
So do you go out and kick field goals to this day? Do you ever go out there and kick the old football around? Like
sometimes.
Yeah, it's awesome, yes, man.
I can still do it. I you know, my range is not as long as it used to be, but I can still get it up.
You ever bomb one from 60 yards in practice?
No, those days are long past me.
Okay.
Yeah. I did. I was actually pretty consistent from 50 out.
Nice.
And that's why I know I chose the wrong pathway. I fancied myself more of a soccer player.
All right.
Little did I know that I probably could have done more in kicking footballs.
Think about all the schools that would need a kicker.
But I brought this up because I did have one tackle.
One tackle?
One tackle.
Was it great or was it?
I stood up and I, you know, my helmet was sideways, so I had to bring it back forward. And it was the most god awful experience of my life.
Kicker makes the play.
That's why kickers don't kicker. We don't make tackles. We don't practice it. We don't ever hit. I just had to do it because I was the last man back, and this guy got through 10 other people.
So it's up to you, Culver.
And so it's up to me, and I just kind of flung my body at him, and I guess it was a good tackle. I don't know. I just remember a lot of noise.
All right. There you go. Wonderful.
And not a fun experience.
All right. 800-777-2907. Thoughts on the national title game last night as Clemson beats Alabama as we continue along on a Tuesday morning on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, I guess if you were last night, one of the things we learned about is that Clemson fans now don't really care for Drake, who wore an Alabama sweatshirt. It appears that the rapper musician jumps on the bandwagons of teams. He is a Toronto Raptors fan. He's from Canada.
Yes.
But he went to a couple of Kentucky basketball games and people took notice of that. Now he's jumped on the Alabama train.
Or do they like him because he is a jinx? to whatever.
Maybe
team
so.
He likes.
Yeah, right. I mean, come on.
Maybe Clemson fan will keep going. Hey, keep you know. Go ahead, keep liking yeah. Bama.
We don't want you to be on our sidelines.
We're facing
kidding?
Him again next season. We already know this.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So they took to Twitter to pick on Drake for jumping on Alabama's
All right, if we
train.
Look at it right now, you know, for next year's national championship, we look ahead. Who are the contenders?
Alabama and Clemson.
I mean, is that that's it, right?
There will be
maybe Georgia
talk about,
makes a little bit of noise.
Oh, I think Ohio State, if Justin Fields hits the field, I think he'll be a very formidable Ohio State. Let's see. Georgia will be back. Let me think.
Because Oklahoma,
I think Florida will be very good.
Oklahoma will drop off a little, right?
I would think, but you never know who their new signal caller will be.
Michigan.
Michigan could be good again. Yes, haven't they already released a top 25 preseason rankings already? Well, because usually they have that ready to go to make sure you're all geared up for next season.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, because they're just waiting on the final two spots.
Yeah, here's our preseason top 25 in January to get you geared up for September.
But, I mean, if we honestly think about it, it's can we just pencil in Alabama, Clemson now?
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying earlier. Like, people, you want a larger playoff, and I get it, but remember, a larger playoff is going to include these two teams and two teams for a while. Now, I don't know if they play for a title. Obviously, the road is harder. You got to play more playoff games, and I get it. But if you don't want to see these two teams compete for a national championship because it's getting old, you expand the playoff, they're going to compete for a national championship. They're going to be a seed somewhere in your top eight. So get used to them. And get used to them even under this system because they're going to be around. I mean, look, the name of the game in college football is recruiting, and these two teams do it really, really well. And coaching is a big part of it, and these two guys do it great. But what I saw last night from the, you know, even Tua, he had a bad game, but he's gonna bounce back. He's still one of the most exciting quarterbacks you'll see. And now that Trevor Lawrence is hitting the national attention, we all knew that he was good if you follow ACC football. These two teams are going to be around for a while, so get used to it because they're not going anywhere. SB Nation AM.